This is CICK News. Today on CICK News, BC Courthouse Library CEO Caroline Nevin stopped in Prince George and Smithers last week as part of a province-wide tour celebrating 50 years of providing public legal information across BC. The nonprofit operates 8 full-time and 22 part-time courthouse libraries, helping connect people to free legal resources, forms, and online information. Nevin says the libraries aim to make the justice system more accessible, offering free computer use, printing, and guidance for anyone navigating legal issues, from family law to tenants' rights. In Smithers, residents can visit the Courthouse Library on Thursdays, where Library Assistant Tiff is available to help, or explore resources anytime at courthouselibrary.ca and clicklaw.bc.ca. Nevin's tour continues this fall with stops in Kelowna, Kamloops, and Penticton as part of the organization's anniversary celebrations.
My name is Caroline Nevin. I'm the CEO of BC Courthouse Library Society, which is the nonprofit organization that for the last 50 years has provided public legal information to people through both libraries and online. So we are celebrating our 50th anniversary this year of being a public law library. So we have 8 full-time locations and 22 part-time locations. And so I'm going around wherever there's local interest in having a little open house at the library just to promote the fact that we exist both in the local community and online.
Caroline visited Prince George and Smithers Libraries last week on a mini tour of courthouse libraries in BC as a way to firstly celebrate BC Courthouse Library's 50th anniversary of becoming a public entity and to promote the uses of these resources.
Lots of things that happen in our libraries have to do with linking people up to the local resources. So we make sure that local people who are providing services to people in having legal challenges know about us as well. But for the public, we want to be sure that they know that we have 2 open computers and free printing access to all of the things that people need to get through the courts, like forms and information websites. And so there's lots of resources available there in addition to physical books. And sometimes it's hard for people to come into courthouses because sometimes they feel like scary buildings. So we also make sure that we fund legal resources and some training for public library staff as well. So you're served very well in Smithers through your public library. And you'll see that some of our resources are on their shelves because we help make sure that those are available.
If I had a question about a law, let's say like a bylaw or something like that, how would I be able to start that process?
So there's a couple of things. One is our website, courthouselibraries.ca. But the second thing is, in Smithers particularly, you have a lovely library assistant, Tiff, who's there on Thursdays during the daytime. And what will happen is she will guide you to whatever resources are there that you might need access to. And one of the things that is really cool is we have free access to court services online for both viewing and printing of publicly available legal documents. So that's something that lots of people have had to pay for if they do it in their own home. But if they do it in the library, they don't have to pay at all. So I would start with, if it's any day but a Thursday, I would go to the website and you'll find lots of resources there. And you can talk to a librarian anytime on a 1-800 line and they'll direct you to a good resource right away. I know they will. And then if it's Thursday, come on down to the courthouse and come see Tiff and she'll guide you right there and get you whatever you need, including assistance with all of the forms.
Okay. And how's the tour been? Are you touring Northern?
No, I did both Prince George and Smithers last week. We had a big celebration in Prince George. And then the next day we drove that night to Smithers. Oh my God, it was gorgeous. And then we did Smithers the next day and then drove back to Prince George because that was the only way to get home for Thanksgiving because of the flights. But it was absolutely gorgeous. And we're doing, I think in November, next month, we're doing a swing through Kelowna, Kamloops, Penticton. We had a big event in Vancouver in May, and we're having one in New Westminster on Friday. And really, it's just up to the local libraries. I'll go anywhere there's a place to go, I'll go.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Is there anything that I didn't ask that you want people to know, or who you think maybe is underusing something like a courthouse library?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that lots of people don't think of some of their everyday problems as being legal problems. I think that's one of the most interesting things I've found, is that laws and the rules that govern our lives come upon us in different ways. Like, you wouldn't believe the information we have available about tenants' rights and landlord rights, for example. Mm. You might not think of those as necessarily legal issues, but they do affect you. And we have a great online resource for family law. If you're just starting to navigate a change in your family situation or starting to think about it, there's some really good resources online directly created for the public, for someone who doesn't have a law degree and is trying to figure out this very complex system. We're here to help. So the easiest way to get to know us and what we can do for you is to go to courthouselibrary.ca. But if you want to look up some information about laws, one of the best things that I think we've done is we've put our librarian expertise to work on creating simple, not too many, very trusted resources you can look up about areas of law. And that's on a website called ClickLaw. It's clicklaw.bc.ca. And I know that everybody thinks everything is online, but it's a good starting place. And then we have humans who will help you navigate and get to the exact information you need if you need us.
Thank you to Carolyn Nevin, CEO of BC Courthouse Libraries, for speaking to me today. The BC General Workers Union strike continues across the province, and the toll of picketing has begun to wear down the patience of some government workers. Emily Ballmer is one of the striking workers that had the idea to gather some artists to spend a day on the line making art with picketing workers as a way to lift some spirits. I met Emily at the Nora Building parking lot, where she was pasting newspaper to a piñata under the guidance of local artist Facundo Gastiazoro.
My name is Emily, and I'm here on the BC GEU strike line in Smithers, and we're keeping spirits up.
Okay, how are you keeping spirits up?
Well, today we are making some piñatas, and we're working on one right now that looks, it's going to look like a printer, which I think will be very satisfying to hit. This is a positive way to just let out a bit of frustration. This is going on to week 4 at this site, but week 5 provincially for the strike. So, you know, it's a bit longer than we thought.
Yeah. How does it seem? How are spirits, I guess?
I think spirits are generally pretty good. You know, we've got a pretty positive group of people, and folks are, you know, walking and keeping each other company. We have been told that the government is back to the table today on Monday. Mm-hmm. So that's good news, and we're hoping that we won't be out here for very much longer.
So you're making the piñata today. What are the plans for it?
It needs to dry, and then we need to, you know, paint it. So I think we'll do that on Wednesday, and then we'll smash it on Friday, because maybe we'll have a deal by then, right?
Yeah. What else is being planned? Because I know that you were orchestrating artists coming and basically finding fun distractions.
Just finding a few things that's a little bit different to kind of keep the energy high. So we actually have one of our artists in residence right here. He's working on the piñata. So maybe ask Patrick what he's got.
Patrick?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Okay, we have plans to do a little chapbook making session. And so I think later this week, when we have some weather. That's what we were aiming for last Friday, but it was pouring rain and it wasn't really a good day for making chapbooks. But chapbooks are little handmade books, sometimes only just a few pages long, and it's a great way to capture, either using illustrations or words, small reflection of life on the picket lines, or it even could be life beyond the picket lines. But it's just a way to harness some of the creative energy that right now is making its way around the block about, I don't know, probably 40 or 50 times a day. So we're going to capture some of that energy and turn it into little creative projects called chap books, and we'll make them right here, and we'll end up with some way of remembering our times here on the picket lines.
What is I've never heard chap book before. It sounds like a zine, but what's chap book mean?
Similar. I can show you one.
Yeah, do.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a look.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just going in for my collection of chapbooks, and you just caught me at a good time because I have my whole chapbook library here. And they take different forms. We're going to look at this one here that I'm showing you. Is about it's fiction from the perspective of a moss, written by a friend of mine, and they're kind of like interesting stories sometimes. A little bit racy, actually.
Yeah, nice page to flip through.
Anyways.
I see that. And then Haircapped Erotica was the page that we randomly opened.
Anyways, that's quite a...
What kind of fell open to it, actually?
It's one of my favorites, yeah. And then this is just reflections about life on Hudson Bay Mountain and some of the plants and animals and landscapes. It's illustrated by the painter Mark Tureau, and then some words that I wrote to accompany that. That was a project. And then there's some other ones. I really like the artist Rebecca Dolan from Vancouver. And Rebecca's done all sorts of chapbooks, and I own a few of them. Here's my latest effort. It's called Look At This. Do you want to look at this?
I do want to look at this.
Okay, you can look at this.
Hey, look at this.
Yeah.
I'm awesome. Watch it, you migrating turd. That's a bird.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because we're audio. Oh, we got the front half of an aircraft here with some debris, some viscera, maybe.
So, yeah, this is kind of chapbook making. So I got some blanks here ready for anybody who wants to...
And you're encouraging people just to come and just, like, is it doodle, write whatever sort of thing.
Poem, reflections, could be just a few phrases, whatever.
Why do you think it's important to have like ephemera of a time like this?
I like the idea, like, you know, you have these experiences. We've been at it here for about 4 weeks, and presumably at some point we'll be back to work. And I think it's valuable to look back and to have some way of capturing kind of your thoughts and feelings from a time that, quite frankly, is stressful. Like, it's stressful being on the picket lines, and it's frustrating. I think there's value in learning from that experience and from remembering the experience.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
On newspaper.
Is that legal?
It's totally legal. Love it. That's the way.
What do you mean, is that legal?
Well, I thought we were cutting strips, but now we're just like, fuck the strips. Let's just cut.
Yeah, well, it's a square. Why not? Okay. What a great idea.
Yeah, you totally introduce yourself.
Ernesto Facundo Gastiazora, Señolaza Rey.
So, you are the... What do I want to call you? Do I want to call you the mastermind behind
this one here?
No,
the mastermind is her.
Artist in residence, that's right. Yes. Tell me about this residency.
I think it's about class conscience and being with workers. I'm not a worker of a government worker. I'm an artist, so I don't do that. So, but I think as an artist, I think it's our responsibility to be with social things.
So what do you feel you're kind of orchestrating, or conversations you might even
I'm
be starting with this? Well,
nothing.
Not orchestrating, but do you think this allows people to think about differently then?
I got a phone call from her. She is orchestrating and masterminding thing. She's called Emily Bollmer. And she told me, like, hey, what about piñatas? And I do piñatas because I am a Latin man, and I have kids, and I do piñatas every year. So, and I just come and give a hand. I think this moment here is about a moral lifting on the workers, because these people has been in the picket line for 4 weeks, and there is no match. I didn't hear anything on CBC, on any channel of my news. And that's just terrible. And I think they do an important work in that community. You know, like it's like bringing water to people who is in a barricade kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I
I've had an opportunity to smash some of Facundo's piñatas, and it's cathartic. And, you know, people have been doing kind of the same thing for a little while, and why not bring a little bit of spirit lift to the picket line and some artists from the community? I think there's a lot of people that do support workers, and they see the services that are provided, and this is just another nice, this is a nice way to get some folks from the community dropping by and bringing in just something a little bit different. So if there's any other artists that are like, oh yeah, I have a thing that I could bring to the picket line, and that could be something that'd be a little bit fun, certainly you can reach out.
Yeah, I think also too, it is a way to have renewed like a renewed way for people to start thinking about what's happening around the Nora building right now. You see people walking, and weeks on end you kind of start to, it starts to just sort of fade into the background. So this is sort of a way to remind people that
there's something going on, and people can participate in different ways. There's different ways to show support, and there's been folks from the community dropping like coffee and snacks by and some food, and that's a way to support people. It's super appreciated, and this is another way to support, which is also really appreciated, bringing some kind of artistic opportunity and just something a little bit different.
Yesterday in Smithers, the BC General Workers Union employees marched down Main Street to remind the government that they're still here and they're still fighting for fair wages. They stopped by MLA Hartwell's office, where they were met warmly, as she has been quite vocal of her support of the union's demand for fair wages to match the living costs rising in the province.
Hi, my name is Ryan Lapointe, and I'm a biologist working for the BC government.
We're speaking just a few hours after your most recent march, which was yesterday on October 15th. Can you bring me up to speed as to how the march went?
So we've been on the picket line for, went on 6 weeks now. It's been a long time. We're still waiting to get back to the bargaining table, which we're hoping for next week. Today we had a march, and we went from our main government building with various natural resource ministries and emergency management called the Nora building, downtown Smithers, and we continue our march to the BC Liquor Store to meet other union members who are on strike. And we had members from several unions joining us today.
Members from several unions, including the PEA, the Nurses Union, CN, and Safeway, joined the rally, which was open to all labor groups. Strike pay is $130 a day for a four-hour shift on the picket line, or 70% of the worker's wage, whichever is lower.
So how is it feeling out there, going on a month and a half of picketing and being on strike?
It's a lot of, there's a lot of frustration that the employer, the government, is not willing to budge and move at all. And so we feel like they're playing games with us, just trying to ride us out and basically force us to come back because of money. But we're still out here, and morale's, you know, people are annoyed, but morale's still quite high. And I'd say most people, you know, we're not happy with the wages, and we're not happy with the offers we've been given. So, I mean, we had a costume day. There's been a few games. There's some people are playing picket poker, not for money. We're trying to be creative and keep morale high. And lots of people are also just walking around the block, walking around the government building. So there's a mix of things. We're pretty settled in at this point.
Union members on the picket line are pushing back against the Finance Minister Brenda Bailey's comments on wage talks this past weekend, saying the government's numbers don't add up. BC GEU President Paul Finch argues that while wages have stagnated, living costs keep rising, and that the province's fiscal choices are leaving workers behind.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to say is that that the finance minister and the government in general is saying that they can't afford these wage increases. There's a few issues with that. They've already included wage increases in the deficit number that they are sharing, but they've also done things like cut taxes by billions of dollars of provincial revenue this year alone. And so the government is making structural decisions that are not bettering most British Columbians. and my taxes maybe go down a couple hundred dollars in a year, and my expenses go up many thousands. So we're not, they are not finding structural solutions to help wage laborers across the province. And this is an issue we're seeing across BC, across Canada, and in many Western countries, is over the decades, it gets whittled away. So for example, a number of jobs that were developed decades ago have totally changed in their roles. They've got much more added responsibility. They've gotten more complex, but we're still paying people very different wages. So for a lot of members on the picket line, we feel that the minister is using language and using a kind of creative calculus that breeds distrust about politicians.
More job sites are joining the strike, including BC Timber Sales on Tatlow Road in Smithers, whose members will join picketing at the Nora Building. The action involves both BCGEU and Professional Employees Association members, with support from nurses showing solidarity. Union representatives say keeping the issue in the news is vital, as wage concerns affect all British Columbians, not just union workers. Thank you to Ryan Lapointe for speaking to me about yesterday's march, as well as Facundo Gastiazzuro, Emily Balmer, and Patrick Williston. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.